This scripture reading will be from Mark 11, verses 1 through 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you are doing this, tell him, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing, untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David! Hosanna in the highest!" Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. The next scripture reading is Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. May God bless the reading of his word.
Let's bow in prayer. Lord God, we do thank you for your written word. We thank you for the reading and the hearing of. Lord, I pray for this time. I pray for your spirit of inspiration to be upon my words and upon all of our ears. As we pray that we would listen from you, what you would have us know from these two biblical accounts, these passages this day. To bring honor and glory to you, we pray. Amen. I want to begin by going to the second passage that Kim read for us in Philippians 2. And I want to look quickly at verses 10 and 11. There are two phrases in those verses. They are great phrases of faith. They are of vital importance for us as believers. First one is that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. It is a phrase of wonder. It is a phrase of adoration given at the name of Jesus. When I read that verse, when I think about that verse, I can often think of that when I'm sitting watching TV commercials. And for some reason, ad campaigns like to focus on famous people, actors and athletes, and they tout the latest thing that they're trying to sell. And I have never figured out why I would buy something just because my favorite actor says it's good. But somehow we use that name to sell things or to buy things. Well, Jesus' name is above even all of that. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. And that means to wonder. It means to offer adoration to God in worship. The second phrase, "and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." That is a very personal Christian creed. It's a short statement of belief, but it's vital and it's powerful to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's what Palm Sunday, that's what Holy Week, Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter, all is about is to have people recognize Jesus Christ is Lord, Lord of our hearts and Lord of our lives. Those two phrases, they flow from Jesus having humbled himself. As you read those verses in the aspect of Jesus came in a sense of humility, and he humbled himself for the purpose of those two truths. Those phrases, they flow from his obedience, from the obedience Jesus had unto his death. He didn't give up. He didn't grow fickle. He didn't change. Jesus was Jesus, and he is Lord. And Jesus was exalted as a humble spirit. He was exalted because of his obedience to God and because of his love for God and his love for all people. It's too simple to say that Jesus had faith, but Jesus had faith. And in those phrases, and in the faith of Jesus, it's how we look at how Jesus approached Jerusalem. It gives us insight on how we should approach Holy Week with obedience and with love and with faith. So this morning, I want us to explore how Jesus approached Jerusalem. The sermon outline in the bulletin, I'm going to try and follow in segments. Much of it is there for you to contemplate throughout the day and throughout Holy Week. I know I will be using that each and every day. But we have the setting of the city of Jerusalem. Jesus was approaching this city, this holy city. And what was there about that region? It is a region of rugged hills. It's a region that is dry and arid, and you didn't travel by plane and train and automobile. You traveled by foot or a donkey or maybe a camel, but you walked pretty much from oasis or well to oasis or a water source. And as you walked, you timed out, you planned out your journey because it was dry and arid, and they didn't always have water bottles to fill up along the way. People traveled to Jerusalem for the annual observance of the Passover. That's what the disciples thought Jesus was coming to Jerusalem for, was to celebrate the Passover, which we remember on Maundy Thursday of Holy Week. But Jesus knew why he was fully approaching the city of Jerusalem, and that's why it required his faith and his obedience. But as he approached, we can know that there were plans involved. We can know that Jesus had worked out the timing for him to approach. And as that region was arid and dry, it was mountainous and hilly. It wasn't like Northwest Ohio, where sometimes it's really easy just to take a walk. They had to climb and go down and climb again. There was effort involved in Jesus coming to the city of Jerusalem. So as Jesus approached Jerusalem, we also can approach Holy Week knowing that it requires our obedience and our faithfulness, and it requires effort for us to come out of our homes and to worship the Lord. So as Jesus approached Jerusalem, you can see there in the middle part of the sermon outline that I am drawing from all four of the gospel accounts of the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. And from the four accounts in the middle of that sermon outline, it gives us a glimpse into what a typical day of Jesus might be like leading up to the actual entry into Jerusalem. And so we see what a typical day might be like. From Luke 19, Jesus was passing through Jericho on his way to Jerusalem, and there he meets Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, that short little man that had climbed the tree, Jesus spoke to him, invited him to come down, and he went with Zacchaeus to his home so that they could eat together. That caused grief by the religious leaders of the day, other faithful people, because Jesus was socializing, he was fellowshipping with sinners. But that's what Jesus did. From Mark chapter 10, shares in his account that as Jesus passed through Jericho, he encountered a blind man who was Bartimaeus, and he heals him. Jesus has his plans. He's on his way, but he's been interrupted already twice. And yet Jesus doesn't allow those interruptions to go unnoticed because he's humble and he's compassionate, he's loving and kind, and he spends time with Zacchaeus and he spends time with Bartimaeus. Jesus and his disciples, they climbed up along the road from Jericho to Jerusalem, passed by the Mount of Olives, which was a familiar place for Jesus. And from there, they walked down the hillside into the city. In Luke 19, as Jesus approached Jerusalem and he saw the city, because Bethany was up high, he could look down over the vastness of the city. As Jesus was up there, as he approached, he wept over the city. Why would Jesus weep over the city? Because he knew not all of them would recognize him as the Messiah. In his love and compassion, he wants to draw all people unto the Lord, unto God. And yet, Jesus being Son God's Son, he knows not all are going to repent and come, and so he weeps. He weeps. Matthew 21, Mark 11, Luke 19, John 12, each of the accounts placed Jesus astride a colt or a donkey as he entered in. That would have set off some things for the people that were witnessing what was going on. We'll come back to that in a moment. Those same four accounts, Jesus was greeted by the crowds. They were there. Jesus was in an area where he was well recognized. He had performed many miracles. He had offered many lessons. They knew Jesus, and he was greeted by those crowds. From Jericho to Jerusalem, 17 miles. They've walked it in modern day times and believe that it was a 7-hour journey where Jesus and his disciples would have started out and had some of those interruptions. So they might have gotten to Jerusalem towards the end of the day. He would have been tired. I didn't do much walking yesterday through a couple of airports, but I was exhausted by the time I got home just from the travel. They were physically exhausted. And Jesus might have been spiritually concerned about what all they were going to face together. And Mark mentions the two cities of Bethphage and Bethany. They were close to Jerusalem. They were up a little bit higher, as Jesus could go up and they could see. Bethany provided a vast overview of the city of Jerusalem. And he mentions the Mount of Olives, kind of clustered together. It's a familiar place. Olivet was in the one hymn. The Mount of Olives would have been known by David, who spent some time there. In Acts chapter 1, verse 12, we see that's where Jesus and the disciples were as Jesus ascended up into heaven. The Mount of Olives, obviously named for olive trees covering the area. It's where immediately after the Last Supper, Jesus took his disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane. It's where Jesus prayed to his Father. It's where he was later arrested. According to John 18 and Luke 21, Jesus went to the Mount of Olives frequently. He went there to pray. He went there to rest. He went there to find strength and comfort from God. He often spent the night there. It was familiar territory for him. He was preparing himself to go down the hill and into the city of Jerusalem to what we know as the triumphal entry. The people were gathering for the Passover. They were coming in, and they had this desire for a king. They were looking for a king to come and take over the Romans so that they could have peace and have enjoy a life. And Jesus would have been well known with all of his power, his miracles. They thought he was that king, and yet he comes riding in on that donkey, fulfilling the prophecy of Psalm 118. The people recognize him as king. They proclaim Jesus as the Messiah, but he's riding that colt as he enters in. And Jesus does so with purpose. The people are looking for a king to come with might and power and overthrow the Romans. Jesus comes in as a humble servant. Jesus comes in to usher in his kingdom of love, his kingdom of peace. It's not about physical safety, it's about heart and spiritual safety. It's a kingdom of another kind. Even though the people lay down their palms and they lay down their cloaks, it's an evidence of their devotion, but they haven't fully grasped yet what Jesus was doing by coming in on the donkey. But Jesus approached, and Jesus entered into Jerusalem because he had different expectations than the people did of his final week on the earth. And we know that as Jesus approached Jerusalem, he did so with faithfulness. He did so with a sense of strength, with obedience. On Thursday night, as he prayed in that garden, we get a glimpse of he wanted to stay. But yet, he sought God's will. He wanted to fulfill God's will for his life. And so he entered in. A familiar passage to most, to many, new to some, maybe many. That's why we record the scriptures in the bulletin so you can take that home and read and study. But what can we draw from this passage? What does it do for us? And so I have been thinking about how Jesus approached Jerusalem can teach us how we should be approaching Holy Week this year. And I have those listed on your sermon outline as well. To remember that Jesus ate with sinners. Not to cast aspersions on others, not to hold others at bay. Not to see them as sinners because we ourselves are. To remember that Jesus cared and fellowshipped and loved sinners. He loves us, and we have to remember that as we interact with people. To remember that Jesus healed people. To be praying for one another as we go through our illnesses and our difficulties. To rely upon the power of Jesus and his peace and his grace to bring healing. To remember, as Jesus approached Jerusalem, he followed a difficult route. And Holy Week can be difficult for us. The different passages, the different emotions, the different senses of anger that Jesus endured. Life can be tough, but with God's love in our hearts, we can make it through. It's not about ease. It's about having the power to get through the difficult times. We can remember that Jesus wept as the city did not recognize him as Messiah. They did not recognize his peace. And Jesus was weeping for us too. And those tears turned to joy as we come to proclaim Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior. We remember that Jesus came as a humble servant. It wasn't about honor. It wasn't about notoriety. It was about humility and humbleness and being a servant of others. To be a servant is a way to enter into somebody's life as a friend, as a source of support, as a support of caring. And as we humbly serve, we enter into relationship with people. And it brings wholeness and opportunity, not only for us, but for the people that we are talking with. Jesus came as a humble servant. And finally, to remember that Jesus was greeted by a raucous crowd on the day of entry. And then on his day of exit, they jeered him and they mocked him. They spit on him and they crucified him. The same people. And I imagine that if you're as honest as I am with myself, there are days when I cheer, and there are days when I fall away. And so as we remember the peace and the love and the grace of Jesus Christ. He entered in faithfulness and obedience and love. And so as we enter into Holy Week, striving to make sense of everything that Jesus endured by God's plan and on our behalf, we are called to enter in with faithfulness, in obedience, and love. May it be so. Amen.
Please stand if you are able, and we will sing the closing hymn, number 529, Oh, How I Love Jesus. And please remain standing for the spoken benediction, and then followed by the benediction and song, number 244, The Trees of the Field.
We live out the words that we've already read this morning from Psalm 118. You are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Amen.